Hello, Star Wars nerds. This is Nerd11 here with a real quick segment. As most of you probably know, yesterday Lucasfilm dropped a official synopsis for Solo, a Star Wars story. I just wanted to cover it here real quick. Most of you probably have already read this. It does not contain any spoilers. It's just a, like it said, it's a synopsis of pretty much the information that we've already known. It's just Lucasfilm's official, announcement for it. So, without further ado, here it is. Board the Millennium Falcon and journey to a galaxy far, far away in Solo, a Star Wars story, an all-new adventure with the most beloved scoundrel in the galaxy. Through a series of daring escapades deep within the dark and dangerous criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his mighty future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters the notorious gambler Lando Calrissian in a journey that will set the course of one of the Star Wars saga's most unlikely heroes. Solo, a Star Wars story, is set to officially release in the United States on May 25th, 2018. So it sounds like this is Lucasfilm's official ramp up of marketing for the movie that's coming out in just a little over 5 months. Actually, a little less than 5 months, a little over 4 months. I'm still really, as much as if you've followed my station long enough, or read or heard any of the feedback that I've given to Star Wars Nerds Unite podcast, I was always one who thought that maybe the Solo film was going to get pushed back to December, where all the Star Wars films have been recently. In my opinion, when the change in directors happened from Lord and Miller to Ron Howard, pushing it back to December would have made a lot more sense to me, because they would have the opportunity to give Ron Howard the chance to really flesh out everything that he wanted from the film, instead of, kind of taking what Lord and Miller did and then making little changes here and there. I really thought that Ron Howard was going to be coming in and just taking the story back to almost square one, maybe square three instead of square one. Excuse me. And he would then, if they gave him until December for the release, gave him plenty of time in post-production to really polish up his vision for the movie. But it doesn't look like that's the case, especially since most of you have probably seen, while going to see The Last Jedi, a lot of theaters already have the Solo poster up that is just that plain black background with the word Solo, just like the traditional Star Wars font and emblem, and it says May 25th on it. And then with this release, they even said they gave the official date of May 25th, 2018. So hopefully this is Lucasfilm finally ramping up marketing for this movie. Maybe we'll finally see a teaser trailer here soon. Maybe around the Super Bowl. Possibly a full trailer around the Super Bowl, because they have kind of marketed towards larger sporting events that a lot of eyes are going to be on. So Monday Night Football, things like that. So we'll see. It wouldn't be the first time that they dropped a Star Wars trailer during a major sporting event. Like I said, they did it during the baseball playoffs this year, for Major League Baseball, and they also usually drop things around Monday Night Football. So, what do you think about the synopsis? We know that he's going to meet Lando. Obviously, this is going to be the Lando before the Lando that we met in Rebels a couple of seasons ago. This is where we're going to finally see him meet Chewbacca, and we already know that this is going to be him taking possession of the Millennium Falcon. So we'll just have to see where Lucasfilm takes it from here. Nerd 11 signing out. Greetings, my fellow Star Wars nerds. This is Nerd 11 reporting in. It is time that we return to our usually scheduled comic book day segments. Today we'll be discussing Star Wars, Jedi of the Republic, Mace Windu, a comic book miniseries from Marvel, written by Matt Owens, with art by Dennis Cowan, and colored by Guru EFX. Probably one of the coolest names out there. Its first issue was released on August 30th, 2017, and concluded on October 4th, 2017. The following is the summary, which is derived from the opening crawls of each issue. It is a time of war. The Separatist plot to build a massive droid army on Geonosis was interrupted when the Republic activated an army of clone troopers secretly commissioned by a late Jedi Master years earlier. To lead this newly formed Grand Army of the Republic, Jedi Knights have been made military generals. Jedi Master Mace Windu fought on the front lines of the Battle of Geonosis, helping to secure victory for the Republic, but not without loss. Many Jedi fell. Now, as the Clone Wars rage on, Windu and his fellow Jedi find themselves pulled away from their roles as peacekeepers to become warriors for the Republic. Windu has assembled a small covert team comprised of Jedi Knights Kit Fisto, Proceet Dibs, and Rissa Mano to investigate Separatist activity on the remote planet of Hissrich. Little do the Jedi know that the Separatist threat they've been sent to disarm is ADW-4, a mercenary droid with his own agenda. Having anticipated the Jedi's interference, the Separatist General Grievous recruited the mercenary droid, which has a penchant for murdering Jedi, to protect their interests on Hissrich, interests that could greatly press their advantage in the war. But when Proceet Dibs discovers that the Jedi Council knew about the valuable energy source held on Hissrich all along, he pulls out his lightsaber to challenge Master Windu himself. However, after detaining Proceet Dibs for turning on his Jedi team, Windu's remaining group of Jedi Knights, Kit Fisto and Rissa Mano, are back to the task at hand. They have found the Separatist droid base, but now it must be destroyed. So the following are a couple of things that I liked about the miniseries of Mace Windu. I like the introduction of the new Jedi Knights, Proceet Dibs and Rissa Mano, along with the familiar Jedi of Kit Fisto and Master Windu. Also, the introduction of ADW-4 with General Grievous. It was a nice blend of the new characters and the new canon meeting up with the old characters, or the established canon characters. So, I found it interesting, the concept of a money-hungry, bloodthirsty droid bounty hunter, which isn't entirely unique in the Star Wars universe. As a matter of fact, we'll be talking about a duo of droids in the Darth Vader series and the Dr. Aphra series that are the mirror opposites of 3CPO, C-3PO, and R2-D2. However, in this series, ADW-4 reminds me a lot of Dirge from the 2003 Legends cartoon, Star Wars Clone Wars, not to be confused with the Clone Wars cartoon series from 2008, which is still canonical. He's a match for the Jedi, but unlike Grievous, we know that he is not a full droid, not partially organic, as we can still see from Revenge of the Sith. You know, Grievous is not entirely a machine. He used to be some creature, some organic creature, and now he's become more, you know, of a droid than anything. So, I really liked issue 4 because it intercut the duel between Mace Windu and Proseth Dibbs with a flashback to a mission when Mace was just a Padawan. So we get an introduction to Mace Windu's master was. We get a look at what Mace Windu was like as a young Jedi Knight and as a Padawan. The discussions that happened during that fight and the flashback actually mirror the moral dilemma that Windu faces at the end of Episode 3. In all three cases, Mace has to confront the idea of what it truly means to be a Jedi, who is both a peacekeeper and a warrior, and what you do when you are faced with what could potentially be an ultimate evil, such as Darth Sidious. Do you take care of them and take them out of the galaxy right now, or do you allow the justice system to handle it? So, and then I found it interesting, one of the things that Proseth Dibbs says is that the Jedi, in his words, that the Jedi's hubris shall be their undoing. Now being in a post Last Jedi world, we know that this is something that Luke has learned, that if you and he even says that if you strip away all the mythology and all the legend that surround the Jedi who have now become deified, you'll notice that it was their hubris which is their ultimate downfall. So I found that interesting. I liked how that was kind of a play, kind of setting up The Last Jedi in light of information from the prequels. So I kind of like that. Now, as far as the things that I disliked about this miniseries, one, the artwork is extremely inconsistent. Even between panels on the exact same page, the appearance of characters such as Mace Windu, who happens to be the main character, often will change. It's a very loose style on it. So, not saying that it isn't well done, it just felt disjointed. So, another example would be a new character, Riss Amano. Her hair color and style often changes throughout the 5-book miniseries. Sometimes it looks darker than other times. I know she's supposed to be a Davaronian female. So it's interesting to see that carry through from Legends to now seeing that a Davaronian female still looks consistent from what we pictured in Legend comics, but the inconsistencies kind of threw me off, especially with the way that I read the comics. I don't read them on a traditional format. I read them digitally, and I use the guided view through the Marvel app. I like being able to see each panel come up cinematically, and it draws your focus to one area. For a person like me who I tend to be scatterbrained when I read my comic books, seeing everything on one page just kind of can throw me for a loop. So even when I went back and reread the series for my review this week, this time I didn't use the guided view, and that's when I really noticed, oh man, I can look at this panel here in the upper right-hand corner, and then in the lower left-hand corner, I get to the panel, and it's a completely different look to this character. So that kind of threw me off. There are also and this is extremely nitpicky, but it kind of took me out of the comic. There are these two random droids that you've never before seen amongst the droid army of the Separatists. You don't get introduced to them at any time earlier in the series, but they don't look like any other droid that we've ever seen in Star Wars. You know, they got these weird saucer head and eyes. It's almost as if they grabbed it from a different universe altogether. And yes, they're in, basically they're only in two panels. They're introduced quickly that they're out on a patrol, and Mace cuts them down in no issue, you know, and no problem. But it's right in the middle of issue 3. There's no explanation of where these droids came from. I couldn't even have told you at the time if they were separatists or not, or if they were just random droids walking around the planet, other than the fact that they were holding blasters and they said that they got a, they received a message from base. But for all we knew, it could have been droids that were native to the planet and they were receiving information from, you know, some civilian base and had nothing to do with the separatists altogether. So it's nitpicky, but why wouldn't you just use the traditional B1 battle droid models for those parts? I mean, they were typically shown in the Clone Wars cartoons as walking around and doing patrols, and usually in groups of 2 to 3, so that they could talk to each other and have a little comedic moment like these two were having. But it makes you wonder, are these droids that usually work for AD and now they're just gone? It's just weird that they threw these models out there. So it was distracting. So kind of drew me out of the comic. So in wrapping up, this was a weird series for me. It wasn't something that I was clamoring for, like most of the other comic series are, especially the miniseries. I was really looking forward to the Leia miniseries and the Lando miniseries and the Chewbacca miniseries. But when they said that they were coming out with a Mace Windu miniseries that was going to take place during the time of the Clone Wars, I wasn't really excited for it. I still read them, obviously, but about midway through, as I was reading the third book, I almost wanted to be like, okay, really, do I want to continue on with this series? It was the first time while reading the Star Wars comics that I was just kind of like, not really interested anymore. I almost did stop reading them. But then at the very end of the third book, the third issue, you have a Jedi turning on a Jedi Master. And this was something that we didn't see. Yes, we saw in the Clone Wars, we saw a couple of Jedi that fell away from the light and attacked. But we didn't know that. There were no hints that something like this earlier on had happened. So when Jedi Knight Dibs turned on Mace Windu and attacked him and was, you know, furious with him, saying that the council was keeping things from the rest of the Jedi, that piqued my interest. And they really drew me back in the fourth issue when we had the intercut between their duel and much earlier mission of Mace's when he was just a Padawan, he was still a Padawan because he had his own Padawan braid. So seeing that interplay and that interconnect, that really got me. And then the last issue was really good. So overall, I feel like they misused the character of ADW4. He really served no purpose in the first couple of issues. He was no more than a glorified logistics droid that, like, we saw the command and logistic droids that we saw in the Clone Wars comics. He didn't really show that he was a mercenary or anything like that, that would give a reason for us to see why General Grievous would hire him to come and take care of this mission. Why not send a normal battle droid off to do that, or even a commando droid, or like I said, the logistics and command droids that we see in the Clone Wars and then also in Rebels. You know, it really would have been nice to see those. So overall, I felt like this miniseries could have essentially been condensed down to three books, or three issues. The first three issues really could have been tightened up into one issue. You know, get them onto the planet, get this new mercenary droid introduced, you know, show how he got hired, and then introduce the conflict between Dibs and Mace Windu, and then move into issues 4 and 5 the way that they were. So overall, I give this about a 3 out of 5 as far as the books go. If you're looking for something to read and you've read all the other comic series, sure, go ahead and pick this one up, but it's not one that I'm going to recommend to you to read right away as a first issue. So now next week, we're going to be actually talking about the one comic book series that isn't from Marvel, and we'll talk about that next week. Nerd 11, signing out. That's all for today, fellow Star Wars nerds. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the station, don't forget to hit the favorite button so you don't miss the next broadcast. Also, feel free to leave a comment on any of the segments or call into the station so that the rest of the galaxy can get a chance to hear your voice. You can also follow this station on Twitter at @the_SWNerds. Go ahead and send me a tweet and leave a comment or a question, and I might just read it on a future segment, which usually happens on Fridays. Once again, I want to thank you all for listening. This is Nerd 11 signing out, making the jump for home. May the Force be with you.